most America weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki along with
Christina Stoffel.
All right, so here we are. Picture this.
Yes.
We're trying to get to the studio. We have an interview, so we're rushing into New York City. So we're trying to figure out a good way to go. Driving is not optimal at that point because it's like 9 o'clock in the morning and it's 3 hours to go through a tunnel, blah, blah, blah. So I say to Christina, let's take the train. And she says, okay. So here we go.
Yeah.
I pick Christina up from her house. And it turns out that the train station, which is one stop over the Hudson River into Manhattan, is only about maybe 0.8 miles from her house. So we're driving along, and she says to me, that's where the train station is? She had no idea.
I had no clue. Listen, I don't take the train.
Right.
For a reason.
So, but you didn't even know it was there.
No, I knew it was there. I just didn't know it was that close. I knew there was a way to quickly get there, but I was not sure of the routes.
Okay. All right. So,
okay.
So we get there. So she's looking around. You know what she's like? She's like if she just went to Disney World for the first time. And this is what it really looks like. And we're like, you know, 2 minutes from her house.
Right.
Anyway, so we find a spot. We park the car. So we walk in. We get our tickets, blah, blah, blah. And then for some reason, the little turnstile thingy, which was like this gate that opens
like,
up, would
like
not open
right,
for you.
You stick the ticket in. It comes out. You pull it out. And then like the little doors open. They open for Ed. But then I stick my ticket in. And it doesn't open.
No. So you tried to stick your ticket back in. And
it said, oh, this ticket was already swiped.
But it didn't open. Right. So we're trying to catch a train. So what does she do? She literally squeezed herself through a five. It's like watching a mouse trying to squeeze through a mouse hole.
Oh, my goodness.
A 5-inch opening between the gate. And you could literally hear her ribs cracking as she went through this thing.
I wasn't going to jump over it.
No, because then you'd be in jail and you would have missed the interview.
Well,
all right. So we get down to the track and here comes the train. So we're thinking, great, we're going to get into the city. We're going to get up to where the studio is, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're talking about what we're going to do in the interview. We walk into the train. We sit down.
Yep.
Christina opens her mouth and all of a sudden this woman pulls this attitude and says to Christina,
excuse me, this is the quiet car.
Yes.
Excuse me, miss.
And she said it with attitude and with purpose and with a look. Now, let's paint the picture as to what this woman looked like. This was not a biker chick.
No.
We're not talking Pinky Tuscadero
here.
This was a woman in her mid to late 50s.
Yep.
Who probably made the wrong choice of the red hair coloring. She went to, you know, this is a little nice and easy, and she should have went 2 shades really lower than she did. But she had an attitude. We look at each other, we stood up, and we walk to another part of the train car, and when we walk in there, now mind you, this is like at 8:10 in the morning. It's literally like Walking Dead, because
like,
everybody was in this zombie sleeping
there
state.
There was not a sound. Everyone was just kind of sitting there. No one was talking.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, where are we? Like, no one's talking on this train. So I look over to Ed, and I'm like, is this a quiet car, too?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, now it's not.
And I got a couple of nasty looks for that,
you know,
as well.
Oh, my goodness. But that woman, literally, I didn't speak 2 words.
No, not 2.
Before, and she gave me the extension of the arm.
Yes.
Like, she put her arm out.
She got somewhat physical. It was like, halt, stop speaking.
Yes, stop speaking.
So it was the
quiet
verbal
car
and the physical combination of the whole thing, which created a very... very tense situation.
I was so taken back. And this is why I don't take the train.
She was ready to cut, Christina. Let's just say that.
She was like shooting daggers at me with her eyeballs. And I was just like, okay, miss, no problem.
So we get off the train. We realize can't talk on a train anywhere. We're scared. I'm afraid to even smile on the train.
You know?
We go uptown. We do our interview. We come back. So we got some time to kill. So we got to get back down to the train station. So then Christina wonders, how do you hail a cab? Now, she actually asked me a question that I never, ever, 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 ever considered, and
right.
I was never asked. She asked, can you hail a cab from both sides of the street?
Now, like if it's a one-way street.
As most are in New York City.
Right.
I don't know. We were right near Rockefeller Center, and Christina hails a cab, and obviously it was from the correct side of the street because, boom, you had us a cab in 15 seconds.
I gotta be honest with you. A cab was just coming down the road, and I don't know, my brain just said, put your hand in the air.
Yeah.
So I just like put my hands up and the cab just pulled
and
over.
And there it was.
Like, all right, cool.
And so we get in the cab and I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a question about taxi etiquette, there is no better person in the world to ask than a New York City taxi driver.
Sure.
Now, some can be quite ornery.
Yes.
Ours, I wouldn't say he wasn't Chamber of Commerce friendly, but he wasn't nasty.
No,
so
he wasn't nasty.
I asked him, I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Can you hail a cab from both sides of the street? I got such a funny look through the rearview mirror as if I was either drunk at 11:30 in the morning or
right.
I was just a lunatic.
Sure.
But he then confirmed that it is acceptable. It is a given social contract. You can hail a cab from both sides of a street.
Yeah.
So it worked out. And then the one good thing, and this is the best reason why Christina was with me the whole day. We get to our destination. We're right outside the train. I jump out of the cab because we both had someplace else to go.
Oh, that's right. I forgot this
and then
happened.
All of a sudden, she taps me on the back and she said, "Don't you need this?" And what does she have? My cell phone.
As he was getting out of the cab, the phone just, I guess you had it on your
I
lap.
I had it on my lap.
And it just fell on the ground. And yes. I was like, oh, what a bad day he would be having if I wasn't getting out of the cab right behind him.
We came this close to turning my Samsung Galaxy S3 into a Galaxy S426 because that's how many pieces it would have been in if he drove over
it. Yeah, he would have rode right over it. You see?
Thank goodness for Christina Stoffo. See how much fun it is to work in this show, folks? And oh my, it is, and it gets more fun every day.
Don't talk on New Jersey Transit, folks.
No, New Jersey Transit, it's what a lovely situation. Anyway, stay with us, more to come. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend!
Order in the court!
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Bob was old and sick, so one morning when he was cold to the touch, his family called their private mortuary to take him away. But 6 hours later, Bob woke up in a refrigerated morgue. He was pretty upset, and he sued the mortuary for professional negligence, reasoning that a mortuary business should be able to tell if their clients are, in fact, dead. How did this case turn out? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Negligence requires a breach of duty owed and damages resulting from that breach. Since there were none, the mortuary was not liable for assuming Bob was dead. And that's the final verdict.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Some time ago, we reported on a Mother Jones investigation that showed reports of climate change-related mass suicides of Arctic lemmings were, in fact, erroneous. But many species appear now in danger of extinction from global warming and rapid habitat loss. In fact, many Arctic species, from flowering plants to insects, even birds, are crippled by springtime arriving a full month earlier than just 10 years ago. An example, walruses used to haul out and rest on ice, yet walruses found so little ice last year that 40,000 of them went ashore on Russia's Arctic coast, where up to 4,000 died in walrus stampedes. While the image of that sounds kind of comedic, experts do worry that artificially land-based walruses will be stripping coastal waters of food ultimately.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.